Time now to take a look at what's making headlines in the international newspapers. We're joined by Antonia Kerrigan for that. Antonia, going to start with Syria. It's one of our top stories, of course, this morning, and it's making headlines across the papers. Let's start with the regional press after the visit of Iran's foreign minister.
Yes, let's start with the Syrian paper Al-Watan, which has on its front page that meeting with the Iranian foreign minister. And in which Assad promises the foreign minister that he will break and eliminate the terrorists. And the Iranian foreign minister is cited in these articles as praising Assad for his morale, courage and firmness. And going to the other side of that exchange, let's look at the Iranian Tehran Times that's got this headline, ironclad backing. In other words, saying that Iran will be there for the Assad regime, and also praising Bashar al-Assad as Al-Watan was doing, and hailing Iran's role in defeating Islamic State back in 2017, and denouncing Turkey on the other side of this for what they consider a broken promise that Turkey was supposed to prevent terrorist outfits developing in the region that encompassed Idlib and parts of Aleppo. So you can see that allied blame game, or at least the allies from back in the day, that blame game on how this has been able to happen. Let's have a look as well at the Saudi paper, Ashaq al-Awsat, which is one of the most read newspapers in the Arab-speaking world. The headline reads, "Dangers of the Field and the Necessity of the State." This article argues that the very worst thing for stability in the region would be the distribution of Syrian territory among regional and international powers. The article says Syria's neighbours need Syria to be stable, and as such, Syria must find a political solution. It must rebuild, do what it's failed to do in all of these last few years, and allow the refugees to come home. That's saying, in other words, that the state needs to be there. It's not the time for Syria to break out into further insurgency and change.
Of course, that stability, you know, something the international community is keeping an eye on. I see you've got picked up on some articles in the British press.
Absolutely. So these articles are pointing out that although the allies have big, although Syria's allies have big talk about being there for Syria, Iran has been weakened by the war with Israel in the region. Russia, of course, is very much engaged elsewhere with its war in Ukraine. So the question, it will matter how strong Assad is within Syria. This article in the Financial Times says Syria's Assad trapped by rebel advance and refusal to compromise. The article points out that the Syrians are poorer than they were 5 years ago, that the Assad family, due to its perceived indifference to the Syrians' suffering and also widespread corruption, has corroded a lot of loyalty. Even members of Assad's own Alawite community are cited in this article as saying, "We'll protect our own villages and towns, but I don't know Alawites will go and fight for Aleppo." Of course, the defence fell away fairly quickly as the rebels marched into Aleppo in recent days. The BBC, this article by the BBC's international editor, though, takes a different slant. Syria's rebel offensive is astonishing, but don't write off Assad, is the headline. This BBC international editor argues that Assad does still enjoy support, widespread support in Syria, as the lesser of the evils, and as such, this regime may once again hold out.
Okay, interesting. Let's turn our attention now back here in France. A lot of focus on the government. It's only been in place for a couple of months. It could be about to fall.
Quite. Let's look at the front page of Libération. You have, this is Prime Minister Michel Barnier, hanging on to the title, quite literally. And then the headline reads, Barnier, 49.3, 2, 1, go. 49.3 is, of course, this clause that we've come oh so familiar with in recent French history. It's the clause that allows a Prime Minister to pass a law through Parliament without a majority. And it's what Michel Barnier is likely to have to do over his social security budget. Of course, it's the left who will be triggering a no confidence vote after he does that, if he does that. The big question is whether or not the far right National Rally will also throw their votes behind it and tip the balance. On the inside pages of Libération, you have Marine Le Pen's face in big, and you have this description of her down here that caught my attention. Julius Le Pen, That's in the words of one Macronist former minister who said she's Julius Le Pen, thumbs up or thumbs down. Whether she votes for it or not, she's shown she's the one, it's in her gift to save Gladiator Barnier or not. In other words, she has this enormous power that she is wielding. Similar themes picked up on in Les Echos, a more right-wing paper. On the front page, you have the Barnier government on reprieve, in other words, awaiting punishment. And on the inside pages, you also have this thing about Le Pen and her enormous power right now. Moment, all-powerful moment, says that article. Of course, right now, she's awaiting a verdict early next year on her embezzlement charges. Prosecutors are asking for her to be benched for 5 years from politics. And yet, right now, politicians and journalists are hanging on her every word. Has she shifted? Has she moved? What will she do? How will she vote? How will she tell her people to vote? She said, for 40 years, the political class has wanted national rally votes, but not to see its face. Well, now it's her triumphant moment, as hers is the most prominent and powerful face of the opposition, despite the way that parliamentary mathematics plays out.
Okay, and an interesting faces there used as the pictures in Libération. Moving on, some environmental reporting in the Baltic Sea, Antonia.
Yes, it's French publication Reporter that has this story. Now, after World War II, 1.6 million tonnes of ammunition and 5,000 tonnes of gas were dumped between the Baltic and North Seas at the end of the war. And this is, unsurprisingly, not good for marine life. The components of bombs, as they break down, can be extremely toxic. The article explains that flatfish and mussels found around the sites that have become these dumping sites have a high rate of cancerous tumours. Just to give you an idea, here's a visual on an aerial of one of these areas in shallow coastal Baltic waters. Absolute dumping ground for World War II relics. So this is the story of a 100 million euro German project to extricate 50 tonnes of war leftovers from those seas to currently being treated at a nearby military base. But down the line, they want to upscale, go out further out at sea into those deeper waters, extricate many, many more weapons and even build a weapon neutralisation platform out at sea. Because, of course, the big challenge of moving and destroying these weapons is the danger of moving huge quantities of explosives. So an interesting story, one to follow, and it'll be interesting to see if they succeed.
Yeah, and indeed how much pollution is already in our oceans from it all. Finally, Antonia, it's starting to feel a lot like Christmas here, and you've picked up on an not too uplifting article for some of us about a new range of toys.
Yes, so we've all thought a lot about ChatGPT. Will it help us or will it steal our jobs? What we may not have thought about as much is AI playing with your children. Storytelling bears, wary parents, AI toys step cautiously towards Christmas. One example given in this article is Poe, the storytelling bear. I'll show you it briefly. We're not advertising, we're just showing you. This bear is capable of telling unique stories in 30 different languages based on a child's expressed preferences for genre and for characters, be it a bedtime story or a superhero story. Now, the industry, explains this article, is holding back on unleashing the full power of AI. They're holding back on making them as interactive as they could be. Poe, in fact, has an inbuilt microphone, but that microphone's not being activated for now due to parental fears. Of course, these are the fears that smart dolls or smart teddies become such a good companion that children may prefer them to actual people or other children. Also, the fear that they demand so much of a child's attention that the child doesn't want to do anything else at all. So the progress of these AI toys is likely to involve a certain amount of activating functions that already exist. But of course, many more things will be put on the market. AI toys could, in theory, use AI as an opponent for a child in a game, but also provide this human-esque companionship. So, Toy Story isn't upon us just yet, but the toy industry sources in this article say in 2 years, all toys may have an AI component. So the real question is, of course, how much will that resemble Toy Story?
Oh, or much worse. I have to say, I find it all very terrifying, but let's call them AI toys and not smart toys, given how dumb smartphones have made so many of us. Antonia Kerrigan, thanks a lot for that look at the International Papers. Time for us to take a break now. Back with more updates in just a few minutes.